Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Bit of a scary situation for 79-year-old Bob Thatcher.
79
still loves to get out on the water, old Bob. And recently he was out on Lake Wellington near Sale in Gippsland and took his little 4-metre tinny out and got a bit of a surprise out on the water, Hutsy. At one point he saw that there was something on the boat with him. On his little tinny, and gave him a bit of a shock.
And I thought, oh, crikey, what's that? And I looked down and, God, snake.
Yeah, a 1-metre tiger snake, to be exact, venomous.
Yep.
As you can see, though, or as you could hear, Bob's an old, you know, an old sailor.
An old hand, yeah.
He's got a little bit of Irwin blood in him, as you heard with the crikey. If it was me and I was out on a 4-metre tinny, and there's a 1-metre tiger snake there, I'd be laying a brown snake in my pants straight up.
Like, absolutely.
But Bob remained calm because he knew the situation he was in. He was already out there, okay, and he'd already dropped anchor. So that made things a bit problematic for him.
The 79-year-old couldn't reach his anchor without startling the reptile. He ruled out jumping overboard.
Not a very good swimmer, so I thought, well, that's not much use whatsoever, and it's too damn cold anyway.
Okay, so the biggest danger to Bob isn't the snake at this point. It's him capsizing and drowning.
He sounds like the guy that once he saw the snake, he was like, blimey, better grab another beer.
Yeah, that's right. Deal with this. That was the real problem. It wasn't because the snake was in between him and the anchor. It's because the snake was in between him and the esky.
Absolutely.
That was like Bob realized dire straits at that point. I'm like, why is a snake on a boat to begin with? Like, snakes don't have sea legs.
No.
They don't have any legs.
Nope.
They shouldn't be on a boat. But pretty much the situation for Bob was like that movie Life of Pi, but instead of a tiger, he had a tiger snake, you know. So, but Bob, he gathered up all his courage at one point and he went full Samuel L. Jackson. He just went,
I have had it with these mother snakes on this mother
tinny. That was great, the edited version, of course. He decided to take matters into his own hands.
Bob was 11 kilometres from the ramp on Lake Wellington when the venomous visitor appeared and forced to make the half-an-hour journey back to land with his extra cargo on board.
You're thinking, okay, well, how did he do that?
Yeah.
How did he get to the outboard? He just threw a sweater over it.
Make it disappear. Ta-da for my next trick.
He's gone like, hang on a second, maybe I can put it to sleep the same way I do with my budgie. I just throw something over it. It thinks it's nighttime. Bang! I sneak back to shore, and that's exactly what he did.
Aussie ingenuity at its finest.
Pretty much, yeah.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
Good morning.
Can you just fill people in on what exactly the Riddle Room is? I know it's an escape room. I've done one of these before, but what sets the Riddle Room apart from other escape rooms out there?
So we were Canberra's first ever escape room. We opened in 2015, but officially we opened 2016 because we actually started in our boss's garage, funny enough.
Okay.
Good place to escape from.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bit different. So we're located in Mitchell in Canberra, and we were actually named the number one escape room in all of Australia in 2020.
Wow.
So with all of the COVID stuff happening as well, yeah, still named number one.
How do you become number one? Is it because there's certain people that are just still stuck in there? Like, do they base it on the number of customers who can never
is
get
Harold
out of your room?
Is Harold Holt still there?
That's based on TripAdvisor. So when people leave reviews for us and all the other escape rooms accumulated to kind of who has the best score, I guess.
And speaking of score, it looks like you've got a bit of a grading system when it comes to each of these rooms. I'm seeing difficulty and I'm seeing scare factor. What's the scare factor? Take us through that.
All rooms kind of have different scare factors. Obviously, not everyone's a huge fan of jump scares and spookiness. But yeah, we like to kind of give people a guide on that because some of our rooms do kind of have things which will like pop open and out at you to kind of give you a bit of a fright and make the experience that little bit more immersive as well to really get you in the theme of the room.
I'm glad you've got a warning about that because we did have one of our listeners last week talking about his mum and her weak bladder. So I don't know if she'd go too well with the scares in the Riddle Room. But with these escape rooms, Danielle, of course, it puts a lot of pressure on people. I'm sure they have different thoughts on how to solve the clues to get out of the room. But have you ever seen a couple go in there, like maybe a mother and a son or a mother and a daughter? Have you ever seen them break into arguments over trying to get out of these escape rooms in the past?
I think my favourite one was a couple who was arguing, and then the girl midway through just decided that she was done and stood in the middle of the room with their arms folded and was just done. And it was really entertaining because the partner was just keeping solving the puzzle and he ends up doing it right and then just walked on into the next puzzle.
It just left her there.
Yeah.
Good test.
Yeah, well, hopefully our winner of Power FM's Mother's Day Escape is still talking to their mum after their experience in the Riddle Room. If you want to put yourself in the running, jump onto powerfmbigabay.com.au. Tell us about that time your mum has embarrassed you. And Danielle, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
Last week at Mundialloc Beach Primary School, they held the finals of a massive sporting event here in Australia, one that often a lot of kids train for in the playgrounds at lunchtimes.
Welcome to the National Handball Championships.
Oh, whether it's handball, four square, king or whatever they call it, you know, I think every child really connects with it.
We used to play it at school. I still play it now, Hutsy.
Yeah, I spent my life in the dunce square, that's for sure.
I'm surprised handball. Channel 7 hasn't turned this into a game show. They had Ultimate Tag recently. Didn't do too well, but handball... No. I'd be willing to watch that.
Yeah, I used to love handball in the playground. For me, though, when it come to like your favourite game in the playground, handball was up there. But when I was a lot younger, it was harassing the plovers. That was the best thing.
I don't think that's a game.
Oh, we made it a game.
It's like animal abuse. But...
Animal abuse? I think they won that battle if you ever run against the plovers. It used to be so fun. You'd run in their general direction. They'd all of a sudden, they'd go up and they'd turn around. You'd be like, here they come, run away. Dive on the ground. You see some kids come back from lunch with like grass stains on them or ripped pants from when the plovers actually got a bit too close.
Yeah, right.
Eventually, they sort of called a wildlife person to get the plovers out of the area. But, you know, it was a fun time back then.
Handball was my number one game, but there was one game that I always wanted to get involved with, but it seemed like it was only for the girls. I don't know if it's changed now.
Maybe.
If we were being more gender inclusive when it comes to this game, but I'm talking about elastics. Do you remember that? There'd be two girls and they'd have like a piece of elastic wrapped around their legs and then another girl would hop in and out.
Yep.
When I was a kid, I'm like, man, that looks like fun.
What about skipping? Did you ever do the skipping
thing? Oh, yeah, yeah. Everyone did skipping.
Jump in, you sort of like sort of anticipate the skips and jump in there and start jumping around.
Yeah. But, you know, what about you? What was your favourite game when it came to out on the playground back at school?
Yeah.
Was it handball? Was it something else?
Yeah, maybe you were sinking threes from beyond the paint. Basketball.
Oh, right.
Come on, Brad.
I dunked. 1-300-92-1250.
You
call
got
us.
Dunked.
Chris from Brogo, welcome. What was your favourite game back in the day?
Oh, man, I was an absolute legend at branding. You know, that game where you basically line up a bunch of kids against the brick wall and you peg a tennis ball at them as hard as you can. With the primary goal to inflict as much pain and possible blood as you can.
When we played Brandy, it was more like a version of Tiggy or Tag with the ball. We didn't line people up against a wall like we were executing them, Chris.
Yeah, see, your school was way too soft.
I used to love it.
These sort of games, they really, like, you know, they build character and, you know, they set you up for life's little mishaps.
Yeah, I used to love coming back after lunch, after you played Brandings. All of a sudden, teacher's asking where these students are, and you're like, mate, Timmy didn't make it. Start playing the MASH theme.
There's some casualties.
Yeah, who's in the sick bay? Oh, three people from Branding. It's fine.
Yeah, the amount of times it got banned at my school in the playground because kids got seriously hurt.
You really stepped it up a level when you got the tennis ball and you wrapped it in electrical tape. That really hurt.
Yeah, or you wet it in the bubblers. Yeah, all the tricks.
That's called a couple of days off school. That's what that one's called.
You might have had a black eye, but yeah, I had 3 days off school. It was fine.
Yeah, I think I've still got a bruise on my thigh from Brandy back in like year 8 of school. So thank you very much, Chris. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, fellas.
Bye.
So, yeah. It sounded more like Hunger Games at his school.
Yeah, it's like get peg or be pegged.
But we've had people on Facebook as well telling us about the old school games.
Yeah, there's a couple of some of them I've never even heard of. One called Chook Ball that Susan has said. And
Chook
then,
Ball?
Yeah, Chook Ball. So similar to baseball, she's saying. And then they played on the Christmas break against the kids. So they had fun with that. And then the parents could drink and celebrate afterwards. Then all the kids played catch and kiss after that.
Oh, yeah, that's one I wonder about. If it's, I don't think that would be allowed anymore. That's, today's...
Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe not. British Bulldogs is another one as well.
So you got British Bulldogs and then you got Red Rover.
Red Rover.
Is that
yeah.
the same?
I think it's.
It's just
sort
different
of
names. It's like from, you know, you go to different schools.
You
and
just
they have
try and run
names
from here to there. Someone's in the middle just trying to tackle you or belt you or something like that. But Elena says handball or golden child. I'm not sure what golden child is.
Yeah.
Is Eddie Murphy
a new
involved
one.
In that one or whatever? But Carol says handball like everyone else. She said, in fact, that was her best subject at high school.
Oh, really?
Well played.
Put that on the resume.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.